B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
If you're defending the situation with, well, he shouldn't be wearing a Skins jersey. Like, come on, seriously.
I had to defend a buddy of mine that I brought once in a Skins jersey because some moron that thinks his reputation is cool decided to, like, check him on the first level inside Lincoln Financial Field and then threw his $13 hoagie at him. And I stepped in between him. I was like, if you're going to fight him, you're going to have to go through me first there, buddy.
There you go.
So I hate that stuff. You should be able to wear another team's jersey. And look, we still have a home field advantage without being physical. Mm. We're the best smack talkers around. Bust their stones, give them hell, but have fun. Like, it's sports.
Exactly.
Like, relax, people.
Yeah. I'm all for breaking stones.
Right. Yeah, and we're great at it. Yeah. We're very quick-tongued in this town.
If you're wearing an opposing team's jersey in our area,
yeah,
that's exactly what you should expect.
Yeah, and he knew that. Mike Scott knew what he was in for.
And you know what the shame of it is? It's going to be the obvious. The Sixers, whoever, is going to have to say to Mike Scott, well, you can't do that anymore.
Yeah, right.
And they ruined it. The trickle-down theory is, players that come in, Sixers are going to have to say, look, if you go to Sixers game, you're going to have to come with us, security, come in through the bowels of the stadium, and you can't be seen in the parking lot or anything. Like that sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Why couldn't he have the fun Trey had yesterday?
You know what?
What's the big deal?
Trey, I took a picture of you.
I had a blast.
You had an amazing time.
Yeah, I had a great
time.
Man
of the people. And I feel like this picture sums up how people should have been feeling in that first half. Can I tweet that picture? See, I don't think anything.
That's Big Can of Thunder.
That's
taking
Big Can.
It easy.
Big Can of Thunder just hanging, man.
Can I tweet that?
Yeah.
And you donated. There was a nice people there. You made a nice little donation. People were walking around for some charity.
I did. All right, that's awesome. Yeah, Trey had a great time.
Fill him in, Mark. Fill him in.
Trey had a good time.
Hold on. There's you with your money out.
Yeah.
All right. Yes. You made a donation.
Yes,
I think
yes.
They were Penn State kids. They had like the pre-thon thing that they thon about, right?
Yeah.
And they danced. You made a little dance. You just said, hey, I got you. And the girls came over to you with a little bucket and you put a little donation in for them.
That's awesome.
You're a man of the people.
Yeah.
I won't tweet the money one. Can I tweet the one of you just lounging?
Yeah, that's
because
cool.
You're just chill, man.
Yeah, chilling. Yeah.
You're just
is
chill.
That your chair or no?
Yes, that's my chair.
Yeah, that's one you brought to the beach, right?
Yes.
That's
yes.
The one of the best chairs I've ever seen.
Everybody should have been that chill.
It's a form fitting chair for Trey.
Well, it is now because he was in it long enough yesterday. But, everyone should have been that chill in the first half. And coming up, we'll have our little security blanket to Sean Jackson, who, just in case of emergency, break glass. And you broke glass yesterday for that, man. We'll get to some sound. But you are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic WPN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. 8 o'clock hours brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit PAWorkInjury.com. But coming up, we'll let you hear from Deshaun Jackson in that locker room, who, you know, it's funny. That Chip Kelly fella, we all know why he got rid of him.
Uh-huh.
Right? Culture. Nope. Didn't fit the culture. That Chip Kelly fella. Remember him, Bobby?
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Chip Kelly.
Chip who?
Exactly.
Finest moment of FanFest, ladies and gentlemen. But we'll let you hear from Deshaun himself coming up in a few. Daryl in D.C., you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Daryl?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great, man.
First of all, I want to say I was at the 4th of John tailgate yesterday, and Trey gave a gift to my wife. I wanted to tell Trey she enjoyed it last night.
So awesome. I'm glad.
Yeah, appreciate that, man.
Already.
I wanted to say...
Wait, what? What was that? It's not often a man with your voice, Daryl, calls in and is like, thank you for the gift to my wife.
Mark, I think no, Daryl, hey, hold
me,
on one
me,
second. I think we just gotta let it go here.
Huh?
All right.
I'm just hanging out, man. Tailgating, man.
Tailgate.
What happens at the tailgate stays in the tailgate.
Absolutely. I just want to thank that man.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
What the hell?
All right. Let it go, Mark.
No,
what do you think of the game, Daryl?
It was great. Like, first half, I mean, it looked like they were rusty because most of them didn't play preseason. Only thing I had a concern with was, and I think Doug touched on it as well, was how scarcely they used Jordan Howard. The dude was averaging like maybe 5 to 6 yards a carry. So I'm like, I know Darren Sproles was in the game plan, but you know, if that engine is running, just keep going. I mean, I know next week we got the Falcons, and I don't know if you guys saw the highlights of the Falcons and Vikings game, but the Falcons couldn't stop Dalvin Cook.
They got torched, and they got beat up the middle.
Yeah, they couldn't stop it. So I think Doug, I think Jordan Howard needs to be the focal point of that game next week, honestly. If Dalvin Cook can do the same thing, Jordan Howard can do the same thing to the Falcons, honestly.
I certainly hope so. I hope they can cut it up, man. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it, Daryl.
Mm-hmm.
All right, take it easy, man.
Hey, bro, take care.
Yeah, that...
Don't ask questions, Mark. Just let it go. Sometimes,
right.
Better off on.
I'm just not... okay.
Trey's a good man.
I'm well aware Trey's a good man. I
had a blast yesterday. Tailgating. Woo! Fourth and John.
Now, on the... by the way, Don Smolinski, Eagles president, stopped by the tailgate yesterday. And he just moseyed on in.
He was at the tailgate, too? I missed him, too.
He was on the other... Now, hold on. Now,
in your defense, there's a lot of people there.
In your defense, Trey, you were on the other side of a lot of people and a trailer.
Okay.
So you didn't have a clean line of sight.
I didn't get a chance to see him,
You didn't have a line of sight.
Okay. Good time.
By the way, you had a fun time. No, I was kidding. But you manned the people. It was awesome. People were enjoying your company.
Mm-hmm.
But it was interesting after the game, Darren Sproles, who was involved a lot in the game plan at 36 years old, who is only still in the league because his daughter won a track meet. That, and yes, he still has some left in the tank. But nonetheless, he was involved heavily in the game plan, and it seemed like the same type. A lot of things were similar between last year's season opener and this year's season opener.
Yeah.
Last year, you had trouble getting out of the gate. This year, you had trouble getting out of the gate.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, because you had trouble getting out of the gate, the fans booed. This year, because you had trouble getting out of the gate, the fans booed. The other thing that was in common was that last year, I believe Darren Sproles had 13 touches in that game. A guy that was also back and forth on retiring. And guess what? Big part of the game plan. This time around, still heavily involved in the game plan. It was like Doug Peterson was, in case of emergency, break glass, go to Darren Sproles. Go to old reliable, go to old faithful Darren Sproles. And then, when need be, when you're sucking in that defense a little bit, go over the top to a guy like DeSean Jackson.
Yeah.
That was something that I thought rang true. Mostly how much Darren Sproles was a part of that offense, and then also what you were expecting a little bit later in that game, maybe, DeSean breaking out, which he did. Welcome back, DeSean Jackson. Let's get to Bill in Fishtown. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Bill?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, what's going on? So, you know, every once in a while, my blood gets to boiling, and it usually has to do with knuckleheads in our fan universe here.
Okay.
I don't understand why. I've been a 4-for-4 guy my whole life, over 40 years. I work in a bar. I deal with a lot of people. One thing I cannot stand is when people give other people a hard time about other jerseys. One thing to mess around and throw some shade some people play, but when it starts getting physical, that just drives me nuts. And I hate that it happens here as much as it does. And we have a reputation for it. And it drives me crazy.
The ball break and all that stuff, I get. That's fine. That's part of sports. That's part of the fun of sports. It's part of the fun of being a fan. But yeah, anytime exactly. There's a physical altercation, first off, physical altercations don't happen because you say, oh, hey, that skin suck. And then a guy punches you. Like, that doesn't really happen, right? What happens is those start to get increased. Those start to go to next level. And yeah, sometimes you're boozing and sometimes you have the beer muscles and you stick your chest out a little bit and maybe you go up another notch, right? That's really when bad things are happening. But when two people are really coming to blows on how much trash talking is going on, that's where you need to take a step back and reevaluate your thought process.
I mean, you can't ask for a better guy than Mike Scott, a more fun guy than Mike Scott to hang out with. I mean, the guy just oozes fun, and that's the guy you want at your tailgate, whether he's wearing a Redskins jersey or not.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I get these guys probably feel really stupid now. You know, because everybody knows who they are and everybody's seen the video. And now it's like, you know, you screwed up a decent thing.
I know that it happened at where the coffin was, where the casket was. And thanks for the call, Bill. I appreciate it. And those guys were actually interviewed on NBC 10
mm-hmm.
before people were allowed in the tailgate.
Yeah, good investigation work by you.
Well, you know, I do what I can. I was up early with the baby watching like old NBC 10.
Zapruder over there this morning.
You know, Zapruder.
That's the guy that took the film of the Kennedy assassination there, Sam.
That's
Zapruder.
That's it. Yeah. Now you might as well just call it.
She learned that earlier.
they farzetted it, basically, as I like to say. But no, those guys were interviewed, and they looked like they were going down there to have a good time and honor a past relative as well. And maybe that was a little bit more of a heightening of the emotions. But again, we don't know all the details. No. A lot of it is speculation right now. We've seen the video. We haven't seen how everything started. We certainly look like it looked like we saw how things ended. Mm-hmm. But we don't know who's at fault. Bottom line is, it looked like things were said that shouldn't have been said. Things got to the next level when it came to trash talk. And if you're Mike Scott, regardless of the situation, that situation where you just got to get the hell out of it.
Yeah.
Once you realize this ain't the fun and games that you came down here for, you're an athlete. All right. Who has more to lose in this situation?
Absolutely.
That's all I could think of when I saw his arm go one time. Is like, okay, you break a hand, you break a wrist. Seriously?
Right.
For who? For what?
And then who's going to have the sympathy of a jury if, God forbid, exactly, something has to happen? 610-632-0975, and the Sixers did announce they are they're gathering more information. 610-632-0975. But how about a little bit of a positive note? More of a positive note. We're going to hear from a voice that we haven't heard in years coming up in this next segment, because we got to go back to when really this whole thing started with a return tour from DeSean Jackson started at the departure of DeSean Jackson. Him coming back, what that meant, not just for the football field, what it meant on the football field, but also what it meant in the locker room. DeSean Jackson, locker room leader. Go figure. 610-632-0975. We got Howard. We got Rajab up, and then we got open lines after that. 610-632-0975. Also, coming up at 9 o'clock, we're going to talk to Michael Kay, Mike Kay himself of NJ.com. We're also going to talk to Donovan McNabb at 9:30 today, our second installment of 5. Back with us for football season. 610-632-0975. Time of the Fanatic is 8:11.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Just a decision that we made as a team that a lot of teams make at that point in time. It's just part of the game of football. So I wish him the best of luck, and I've got nothing but good things to say about this.
Can you explain why the team is better without him?
I don't get into that. It had nothing to do with anything that was written in the newspaper, anything to do with any off-field behaviors. DeSean came to practice every day and gave us everything that we asked him to give.
Chip Kelly, your former colleague, Trey.
Yeah.
Is that not just a heaping pile of BS right there?
Yes, it is. I mean,
it didn't fit culture.
No, I mean, especially when you say, hey, he gave us everything. He did everything we wanted him to do, and still get rid of him.
You were on the coaching staff. When DeSean Jackson was released, what was your thought?
What the hell is going on? what are you doing?
I had said then, and I say it again, we were waiting for the perp walk. We were waiting for him to be carried out somewhere in handcuffs. Something awful must have happened. DeSean Jackson must have been involved with something illegal. What's going on? That's why they're getting rid of him in this manner.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. There was a story that came out that said he knew gang members.
Okay, he's from California.
Yeah. Like, would you say a good amount of people in the NFL, they might have met someone one time that were in a gang?
Yeah, I'm pretty
sure. At least?
Yeah.
Well, this story came out that he was friends with these people.
Uh-huh.
And where's he from again?
He's from California.
Southern California?
Yeah.
Go figure.
Yeah.
So, no big surprise there.
Not at all.
But then he goes and he continues to have a nice little career for himself. But now he's back, more importantly. And here's what's interesting. We can all look at 150-plus yards. We can all look at 2 touchdown receptions at over 50 yards. We can all look at that on the field and go, oh, that's our guy. That's what we missed. We might be getting a better version of DeSean Jackson.
Maybe the best.
The best possible version?
Could be, yeah, because to me it doesn't look like he's lost a step.
No.
Yeah, certainly hasn't.
Add into what you're going to talk about,
mm-hmm,
it might be the perfect situation.
Here's Brandon Brooks, first-time teammate with DeSean Jackson now. Does he sound flat-out giddy about having DeSean Jackson back? Take a listen.
Hell yeah, having DeSean back is great. It's almost like it's going to be some type of cover two, cover four. Like, somebody's going to be, I mean, at least two guys will be back there. I mean, if not, you've seen what he did today. I mean, there's no better feeling for offensive linemen, man, than going like two plays to a drive and just see the ball in the air and just see D-Jack running wide open. I mean, if you can tell from, you know, the excitement in my voice, man, I'm excited to have him back, man. It's great.
He's just flat out giddy to have a guy like that with the impact on the field. But how about this? What about the impact in the locker room? Trey, this is a guy comes out here and just absolutely does what we wanted him to do, what we expected him to do on the field. Even more so, exceeds our expectations on the field. But in the locker room, turns out he's the rah-rah guy.
Uh-huh.
Turns out he's the guy that's giving a little high school Harry. You know what I'm saying? He's giving that little speech during the halftime. They're down 20-7 at halftime. 7 points thanks to DeSean Jackson getting behind the defense and making things happen. Turns out that play, as DeSean admitted after the game, was actually for Alshon Jeffrey. Things got crossed a little bit, and guess who wound up wide open? DeSean Jackson. Speed. Greased fast speed. Right?
Is that your Mickey?
I guess it was terrible.
Okay.
But you get what I'm saying.
Crap.
Greasy speed. But he gets out there and he gets behind the defense and he's just incredible. But in the locker room, he provides a little rah-rah because he says to his guys, hey, guess what? I was over in that Washington locker room not that long ago. I know their mindset. Here's D-Jack on that Skins mindset at halftime.
You know, we came out, you know, started off slow, struggled. But, you know, not one moment in that game, I didn't think, you know, we was going to win that game. And I just kept stressing to the boys when we came in the locker room. You know, I've been over here before in that locker room, and I just know how they are. And, you know, I just stressed to my teammates that, you know, I felt at halftime they probably thought they had the game, you know, sealed and won. And I just said, man, we're going to just go out there. It's going to take one play. It's a one-play mentality. And, you know, we came out and, you know, as you saw, we scored and just had a lot of momentum the rest of the game.
That was... I like blushed when I heard it. Like, I got giddy inside when I heard it. Because, like, we might be getting, now at 32 years old, a better version of DeSean Jackson. A more mature version of DeSean Jackson. Now, you watch that penalty with Dunbar. Turns out, yeah, it was stupid. We knew that at the time.
He said he had to get it out. He was hyped.
He had to do something.
You got to do something. Punch somebody in the helmet. All right.
He had a drop. Fine. That's fine.
Coming off of a broken finger, probably not the best decision.
Probably not, but, I forgot about
it. Anyway,
well, the left hand was the broken finger, so he hit with his right. All right. He's protecting his injury.
See that? He was smart
with
his penalty. What? But, no, the guy's a leader in the clubhouse. The guy's a leader in the locker room.
He's growing up, man.
How about the offensive? I love the offensive lineman loving up on a receiver.
Absolutely.
Because usually, if you think about it, you're like, the offensive lineman's like, hey, you know, I blocked on that play.
Yes.
Well, what about me?
Yeah.
What about Big Sexy?
That's the life of a lineman. We don't, we don't get that. You know, you just go out there and you do what you do, you know. But it is always cool when you go out there and you block your guy and you see the ball fly and then you just see your receiver just go ahead and take it to the house. That's a beautiful feeling.
And then what's your next thought?
Let's look, turn around. Are there any penalties? All right, let's run up here. Let's go get this field goal. I need the oxygen and water.
Well, you heard from Brandon Brooks. You just heard from DeSean Jackson. But what about the giddiness of Lane Johnson?
Mm-hmm.
Here's Lane Johnson after the game talking about DeSean being the rah-rah guy.
Pretty much get your No, I think we knew that, I think we're getting some momentum there towards the end of the first half. And we knew that we needed to come out and score, open a drive, and we did that. And I think once that happened, the momentum kind of switched our way. We started running the ball better.
Made things happen.
Mm-hmm.
He said DeSean basically said, get your you-know-what together.
Uh-huh.
Same thing as the boos in the stands, as in booing, not alcohol. Booing of the team. Got their you-know-what together. Malcolm Jenkins admitted to that. Coming up, by the way, we have heard from somebody, a witness, somebody that was there, somebody that we know. So this is legit. This isn't just some random person reaching out to us. That with a little account of the Mike Scott situation, some more details coming out as the show goes on today.
And Mark, our buddy Bill Strobel tweets in. He says, can you do us all a favor and please never do a Mickey impression ever again?
It wasn't really a Mickey. The second Mickey impression. That was more of a Mickey impression right there. It's like Mickey's a huckster that's like trying to rip somebody off. I'll never do it again. I'm sorry. you know what? You are correct, Will. I'm out. Thank you very much. By the way, great artwork you did on the Carson Wentz view.
Yeah, the Bishop's Collar.
Little pub, Bishop's Collar, a lot of people know in the
it's
area.
Nice work by him.
Phenomenal work by him.
Yeah, real good.
By the way, him tweeting us that awesome photo last week, in which I believe I did retweet, it brought me back to the thought of Walter Thurman. Remember Walter Thurman?
Yeah.
The defensive back in the Eagles a couple of years ago.
What was his softball
name? Dick Maloney.
Mahoney, yeah, something like that. He apparently was just hitting bombs out on the softball field.
Yeah, apparently he played for the Collar.
Oh, that's right.
Apparently he played for...
he chose to go into a career in movies, television writing?
Documentaries, I believe that's what he went into.
Yeah, I liked him. He had a good year here.
He's going to make a movie, Rock! All right, Howard in Philly. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Howard?
Yo, what's going on, fellas? Can you hear me good or no?
A little better on that phone. Get right up on that receiver, please.
All right, no, I'm going to change it up. What's going on, guys? How you doing this morning?
Good, bud.
Man, I was down there at that Fourth and Shore yesterday. I was parked right across. I saw when Trey popped up. What's up, Trey?
Yo, what's up?
He pulled that chair out immediately. That chair.
I tweeted the photo. By the way, Howard, I just tweeted the photo. If people want to see how loud. Now, this is the headline I gave. This is the comment I made here. I said, we all should have been as chill in the first half as Trey Thomas at, give you a little tech, as Trey Thomas was at the 4th and John tailgate yesterday. Hashtag man of the people.
Listen, when Trey pulled up, I didn't even know it was Trey. Snakeskin Jordans. I'm like, yo, our boy arm big. I'm like, oh, that's Trey Thomas. He got to be up. You know what I'm saying? So, quick little story, though. Like, when the Super Bowl happened, I just moved into my crib. I was living in Mayfair. And, when the Super Bowl happened, I ran outside crazy, hugged this guy in the middle of the street, did not know him. So, this past summer, met this guy again. It was what I called. His name Rick. He told me calling me White Boy Rick. I met this guy this summer, right? And he wound up buying tickets for me and my wife to go down to the game today. It was our first game, first tailgate, first opener, first everything. We wound up being perfect, getting the revenge of Carson Wentz tickets and everything. It was crazy, man. It was crazy. It was love down there.
That's awesome.
That's a beautiful thing, man. Yeah, thanks, Howard. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for the call. God, that gets it going a little bit. It's a beautiful thing. Bob, we have heard from an eyewitness.
Yeah,
that was at the Mike Scott altercation, and this person is a person that we know. He wants to be anonymous, so we'll give him that respect. But he was there. This isn't secondhand. This is directly from a witness, and he is giving us what information.
He said the guys were on a mic. They were basically taunting everybody that came in.
Which, so, on the video, by the way, you can hear somebody on a microphone. So that's definitely verified.
Yeah. He said that they heckled Mike when Mike walked in. Mike Scott. Mike Scott stopped, and according to this guy, and then was called the N-word, and then all hell broke out. Mike took a hard right to the jaw. Those guys, meaning the guys on the microphone, were at fault. Mike was not at fault. Those guys were, and just, yeah, that's how it goes. And then another guy that he was with, he texted with, and screen saved the text, and they their stories match each other. That's what happened.
Oh, so, my goodness.
That's when, and those guys were right there, and we have pretty good proof that they were right there when this all went down.
Pretty good proof. Okay.
So it doesn't appear that the guys with the microphone and that went after Mike Scott, they don't appear to be in the right at all here.
Understood. Yeah. Understood. Rajab, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Rajab?
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen?
Hey, Ben.
What's up, buddy?
I just wanted to talk about the game, and I'm not going to talk about the obvious stuff that everybody else has been talking about, but there was some things that I noticed that I was really impressed by. The lack of penalties. I mean, the way the offensive line played, they played great in keeping Carson clean.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until those two penalties by Vitae that made me realize, wait a second, they haven't called any penalties on the offensive line the whole game. I mean, I could be mistaken, but from what I recall, there was hardly any penalties on both sides of the ball. And that was something that was definitely good to see.
Yeah, and when I saw Vitae make those penalties, I was like, well, he didn't start, so he's going to struggle a little bit because that's been his M.O.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. So, but beyond that, I mean, I have an issue with Doug Peterson's play calling. I don't understand the consistent dinking and dunking down the field with the amount of talent that we have.
All right. You know? First half, I'm with you. Second half, I thought he was good. And it looked like
well,
it worked.
Yeah, it got but the better. First,
he eased Carson into it. And I think some of those plays were Carson also kind of easing himself back into it. It looked right. like he was checking down a couple of different times. It looked like he was overthrowing some. He just didn't look sharp in the early goings. So I'll say this. I don't know how much of that was play calling or how much of that was Carson Wentz knocking the rust off. I will say this. The going forward on fourth down early in the game with a toss right behind your guard coming out like Brandon Brooks, who's trying to really tough it out. You go to Darren Sproles on a toss right in that situation where you're starting to play 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage? Come on.
I understand that, and especially that 3rd and 10 when instead of they did the pitch, I think they did the pitch to Sproles, to the right side. And I'm like, are you serious? Like, come on. Like, it's 3rd and 10. You pass. And if you're going to run the ball, run the ball. But the other thing that's not even brought up Sproles is I don't understand why they're featuring Sproles so much. You went and traded for Howard. You went and drafted Sanders, but then we keep seeing Darren Sproles most of the first half. I don't understand it.
Yeah. No, we were all left scratching our head, Rajab, and thanks for the call, man. We were all scratching our head. I think that was the most common thing. Jamie, I think you tweeted something similar out as well. Like, hey, didn't we just get Jordan Howard for just these situations?
Yeah, that exact situation. Look, I mean, it's nitpicking once you win, but if let's say they lost. Like, that's a play you look back at and you go, ah, damn it. I mean, a toss to a 36-year-old running back who's barely played the last 2 years. Jordan Howard was literally brought here for those exact type of situations. I just thought it was a dumb play call.
No, it was. I mean, there's no other way to
describe like,
it.
I think Doug would even want that one back.
Here's what it reminded me of. And you know what? I think this was another play to Sproles as well, if I'm not mistaken.
But I loved going for it. I just hated the play call.
I remember the Sunday night game in Dallas, Doug's first year. He called a swing pass. Not a toss, but a swing pass to Darren Sproles. On, I think it was a 3rd and 4, maybe, and the play started, like when Darren Sproles caught the ball, he was 8 yards behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. On a short yardage, you're tossing it back, 2 to 3 yards?
Uh-huh. And I remember the Kool-Aid drinkers of the world were like, well, Josh Huff was supposed to make a block across the middle. Josh Huff! Was going to make a block across the middle. That's what we were relying on. Yeah. Play to start 8 yards. Anyway, that's an argument for 4 years ago.
Yeah, right decision to go for it. Bad play call.
I still, yeah. Okay. I'll agree. I'll beat you in the middle.
Look, if they take a field goal there, it's like, I'm okay with it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but I love points on the board.
But that's why you love Doug. Like, did you see the Pittsburgh-New England game last night? Like, Mike Tomlin decides to go for a field goal down like 20 points when they're just getting shellacked.
I thought the same exact
thing.
And
I went,
yeah.
So nice to have Doug Peterson, because that's not even a question that he goes for it. Mm. Not even a question. And that's the new NFL. And we got a guy right at the forefront of it. So it made me feel good about Doug. Mike Tomlin, you dope.
One quick thing, or two quick things on that game entirely. Okay, one quick thing.
Pittsburgh stinks.
When did Ben Roethlisberger become Tom Brady's grandfather?
He looked like he was 20 years older than Tom Brady last night.
Him trying to scramble in the red zone?
He's in trouble.
All right, well, that season's
over.
And
his face got fatter.
I think that's the problem. He was trying to lug around that giant melon on his head.
It's a normal head. Find a new slant. Yeah.
It's like Sputnik. Yeah, right now. But he was trying to run around it. That didn't look too good. And then the other thing, Antonio Brown.
I can't believe that offense is going to be adding Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
That's scary.
Yes, it is. Would you have taken him here?
I originally said no, but the more and more I thought about it, he purposefully sabotaged the Raiders to get his wish.
Right, just
so I don't think he's as crazy as it looked.
To give 60 seconds to this, how ridiculous is all that?
Yeah, he sabotaged.
The Raiders give up all that.
He's not as crazy as it looks.
It was all premeditated and planned.
It was all premeditated, yeah.
He leaked a conversation with the head coach.
I don't even think that was frostbite on his feet.
And then it came out, ESPN came out and said he was working with a social media director on basically how to get released from the Raiders.
How much?
But he's not crazy.
I think there's...
There's some crazy. But at first, I was like, oh, this dude's full-on, like, wacko.
All right.
Now I'm like, all right, he was trying to get his way out.
So was it White Devil or was it Cracker?
Definitely Cracker. There's been some reports of a White Devil as well.
White Devil, because that was a quote we had.
Uh-huh.
And I remember people. Here's my takeaway for late in the day Friday. It was like people were asking, is Cracker as offensive as the N-word, right? And I'm like, and I'm reading this stuff on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, let's just review this for a second. There, sport. You're writing out the word cracker.
Yeah.
You can't even write out the word that you're referencing on the other side of the
case closed.
Exactly. Look, both are offensive. Both are racial slurs. That's not a debate. But if you're going with, like, what's worse, you're spelling out the one word, and the other one you're abbreviating. Like,
I love a nice saltine.
And why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? Because you're terrified of actually writing it out for
it's
people.
It's not even a case.
Hey, good talk.
Yeah.
See you out there.
6 months. No, you know, the social media coordinator that helped AB, I believe his name was Bill Belichick.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, AB, real quick, just call your GM a white devil and then leak a conversation you had with your head coach on YouTube. Tom Brady will be waiting to pick you up at the airport at 8:45, 1 year, $15 million, boom.
In his 2001 Super Bowl MVP truck.
Yeah.
I would never call Antonio Brown. If he's recording conversations like that, I would never call
him. Oh, yeah.
That's
wiretapping.
Yeah, it's illegal in California without the other party's consent. Oh. Some states, it varies.
Yeah.
John Gruden should sue Antonio Brown for 15 touchdowns.
Think about John Gruden. Khalil Mack, Amari Cooper, AB.
Yeah, not a good tenure so far. Trey, you put it out there. Would you take him?
Yeah, I would have taken him.
Really?
Yes.
I don't want that on my team.
Okay.
I would only take
him. I mean, I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just, you put it out there, so would you take him, Mark?
With all this, no. I would only take him if he just didn't want to be in Pittsburgh and he didn't want to be in Oakland. Like, for instance, he orchestrated this to New England. So that's why I say no. He just wanted to be in New England. That's what I believe. I believe he did orchestrate
all
it
the time.
Go. The whole time.
Yeah. Uh-huh. New England tried to trade for him in
March.
And
there was a report out there that he had talked to them, a week ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
If I'm Mark Davis, the Raiders owner, I'm knocking on Roger Goodell's door today in New York going, you better investigate this.
Right. But the only thing
what is he going to do?
Give me some of the Patriots draft picks.
Wait, what do you mean, what is he going to do?
I mean, what is Goodell going to do?
Investigated. There's collusion going on.
Is there a tampering rule in the NFL?
There is a legal tampering period.
That's,
but this
that's
is
the epitome of tampering.
This is the property of another team.
This is something new.
This is like under definition of tampering. Like the new example is going to be this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like this is
he Anthony Davis'd the Raiders. That's what he did.
Wow. All right.
And look, the Pats are now going to, if he leaves after 1 year, they're going to get a third round compensatory pick back. They get him for 1 year, kind of cheap, a chance to win, and he's going to be a free agent all over again. Like, he won.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right,
can we talk about what's really important now? We got a guy.
Carson Wentz is awesome.
Fourth floor stall. This guy is saying Mark's Mickey impersonation sounds very similar, eerily similar to Stromboli, the evil circus owner from Pinocchio.
Wait, his name was Stromboli in Pinocchio?
I don't remember. I haven't seen Pinocchio. Pull up evil. Can you pull up Stromboli? Pull up can you YouTube Stromboli?
I feel like I'm just going to find a bunch of pizza ovens.
we'll examine, all right? Because I'm about being fair, all right? People can compare my Mickey impersonation from Rocky to Stromboli from Pinocchio, then by golly, we're gonna talk about it. 610-632-0975. Coming up top of the hour, we're going to talk to Mike K. of NJ.com about that Eagles game last night. And then, after that, we're going to talk to Donovan McNabb for our weekly installment, talk some Birds football with Eagles quarterback, former Eagles quarterback Donovan McNabb, coming up at 9:30. Time of the Fanatic, 8:42.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, apparently, somebody just tweeted me, John Mulaney does a bit on Cracker versus N-Word.
Oh, does he really?
He's
pretty damn funny.
You know what's funny? I found him amusing with comedians in cars, but I've never seen his stand-up.
It's solid. Like, his material's better than his delivery type of thing.
Is it the kind of thing where he makes you go, hmm?
Yeah. He's a thinker.
Oh, he's a thinking man's comic.
Yeah, I just love him. Yeah.
He's one of those.
Yeah. No, he's pretty good.
I like fart jokes. No, I've never seen his stand up. I keep on telling myself I'm going to watch it. But anyway, I've never seen his bit on that. So strange coincidence, I guess. But somebody else is accusing me of stealing some other bit here. And apparently it's Stromboli from Pinocchio. All right. Now, before I do an impression of what you're about to play, here's my Mickey impression. I'll give it to you right now, and then we'll play Stromboli and see if there's anything similar. Here we go. Hey, we're going to go out there. We're going to get DeSean Jackson going. All right, now let's hear Stromboli.
Like me?
200. You are sensational.
You mean I'm good?
No, what the
300.
Hell?
300. You are colossal.
First off, that sounds like my Uncle Frank. Second, I have never.
And your Aunt Ginny.
Yeah, my Aunt Ginny. That sounds. Guys, is it anything similar to that? Bear in mind, the question is not, is it a good Rocky or Mickey impression? The question is, does it sound like that Stromboli fella?
A little bit. The second Stromboli cut kind of sounded like you.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Do you have that queued up again? Let me hear that one more time. Let me just hear the second Stromboli. Second Stromboli, here it is.
100. You are sensational.
You mean I'm good?
300. You are colossal.
All right, there, right,
yeah,
there. When he goes a little high voice area, that's okay. That's where I'll concede the point on that one right there. Matt in Bucks County, what's going on, Matt?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Yo, buddy.
Yeah, I just wanted to go over yesterday and wanted to ask you guys, how about my Cowboys?
Your Cowboys.
How they looking now? Both teams play bottom five, all right?
Uh-huh.
How do the Cowboys look? They look bad? They don't look like they can go to the Super Bowl?
Correct. They do not look like they can go to the Super Bowl because the Eagles are a better team.
Wow.
Where you been, Matt?
If you guys didn't play an inept team, literally an inept team that couldn't put up 1 point in the second half, you would have lost the game. Do you realize that?
Yes, overreaction Monday. Yes.
Yeah. And you played the Giants. You played the Giants. Matt, you played a team whose coach literally said after the game, we did not score more points than the Cowboys. That's what he said. The Giants are coached by a guy that just said after his own game, well, we didn't score more points than the other team. That's the elite level of thinking leading that team. That's what they just said. That's what the coach said after the game.
By the way, listen, just listen for 1 second. We played against Saquon Barkley and even Evan Ingram. Can you name one stud on the Redskins who Darius Geis with a 7 carry?
Yeah.
Who Marvin Davis?
It's pretty good. It's pretty bad. Didn't even play in the preseason. It took a quarter to knock rust off.
He's why I have a hard time, because the Cowboys are a good team.
Yeah.
It pains me to admit that. He's why I can't give them credit.
Because
people like that.
They just won the Super Bowl? By beating the Giants?
It's on VHS.
No.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Like, yes. No.
I'm sorry, the Giants are good too?
I said to Jamie this morning, like, it gets on my nerves that people won't recognize that Dak Prescott's a pretty good quarterback.
I've been saying that.
I said, look, stop. Just because he plays for the Cowboys doesn't mean he's not a good. He's a good quarterback. And okay, he's a good quarterback. It's so much easier to be an Eagles fan or whatever. Just admit it. It's okay. It's okay to admit he's a good quarterback. And then you know you got idiots like this to come.
No, see, that's the thing. Like, congratulations, you're 1-0 also.
Yeah, we're going to be in a battle here.
You won a game you were supposed to win.
So did we.
So did the Eagles. Like, you want to tell
me... Your team looked worse than my team.
good argument.
Yeah, I...
Let's wait till October 20th when we face each other. We'll see who's talking then.
Oh, listen to Jamie.
Oh, throwing it out.
Oh, yeah, Jamie.
I think we're the better team.
No, I'm
here.
With you. I think we are the best. We should acknowledge one of us is playing hurt.
Yeah. Get on you, Jamie.
Who the hell chips a tooth on an everything bagel?
I don't know.
Me, apparently.
Now it really is an everything bagel, including
piece of tooth.
Yeah, I think I swallowed that piece of tooth. So that's very cool.
That's awesome. Did it taste like sesame seed? Let's get to Ronnie in Rhode Island. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Ronnie?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I was just calling. Obviously the game was awesome. A little disappointed. I wish we started off as quick as Dallas, but you know what? It's probably better for us that we did that. But no one else is concerned about the safeties.
They look so old.
No, we did talk about that. We'll talk about a little bit more with Michael Kay coming up in a minute here. But, no, they look bad. Rasul Douglas got off to a bad start, but he didn't have any over-the-top help on that deep throw to McLaurin, I believe it was.
Rodney McLeod, I can understand a little bit. He's been out. He got that injury. But Malcolm looked very rusty, especially when he was up in the box. There were a couple of passes went right over his head. But what about Malik Jackson? I just heard he got caught off the field.
He walked off. Yeah, he walked off at the initial field, right? He got to the sidelines.
Yeah, he got carted from the sideline. Yeah.
So he was in a boot, apparently, after the game, Ronnie, and they're going to do an MRI today.
So it's his foot? So it seems serious?
Foot, ankle, somewhere down there.
Yeah.
All right, guys, just want to say that. But, yeah, the secondary is kind of scaring me. It scares me to death, Ronnie.
It bothered me a little bit in the preseason when people were talking about how great the secondary was, and I'm like, wait, hold on. They're deep with talent that's all in the same, I believe, talent scale here. The same bracket of talent. They're all within that bracket. Yeah, some guys like Avante Maddox, Sidney Jones, they have that potential, but potential isn't necessarily talent right now. It's potential to raise to that talent level. All of them are kind of, I think, glopped together, and I just want to see somebody rise up. Sidney Jones came in. I thought he played well. He broke up a pass. I thought he also dropped an interception, if I'm not mistaken.
And then he got banged up.
A little bit.
He was hobbling to the sideline. But, yeah, he was supposed to be good and good and good. But I think this is all we're going to get from him. But we got 31 coming back, too. So, but I'm more concerned about the safeties. Mm. Malcolm Jenkins looks old. He looked old that game. I hope it's just chalking it up to week one, getting your legs under you. But he was out of place a couple of times, and that's not usually like him.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Ronnie. Appreciate it, man. Yeah,
I didn't notice Malcolm Jenkins all that much. I'll have to rewind.
I didn't think he was getting burned unless he was the safety that was supposed to come over the top and give help to Rasul Douglas.
Mm-hmm.
But
if he was, he was in another zip code because there was nobody around there.
I would assume Rodney McLeod is normally the guy that's the over the top help. Malcolm Jenkins is more the guy that will play up front. He's more the guy that'll come down in the box.
Yeah.
I do have to remind people, though, Fanatic Pro Show with Brian Westbrook, ladies and gentlemen. Come out and catch the debut of the Fanatic Pro Show with Brian Westbrook tonight from 6 to 7 at the Super Buy Right of Williamstown, New Jersey, presented by 19 Crimes Wine, the title.
97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.